Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, I've been on the subject of becoming vessels of honor unto God. And, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I was thinking about that this morning. When God searched for a man who would take the place of King Saul, Saul had issues. Saul was kind of hung up on himself. In other words, what I'm saying is he wanted the approval of man. But God found someone else, another guy, a boy, a shepherd boy named David, and God said, "This guy is after my own heart. I found him. I searched for him, and I found him. He is a man after my own heart, and who will do my will." God hasn't changed.
Come on.
He's still looking for vessels who will yield themselves, who will turn themselves over unto Him as a vessel to be used for His glory.
Amen.
He's still searching. In order for that vessel, no, I'm talking about a vessel of honor. A vessel of honor isn't seeking God, it isn't seeking man's approval. That's what separated David. He wasn't after to please. I'm not up here to please man. I'm not up here to gain your approval. My eyes are set up here. It's set up. My eyes are fixed, like it says in Colossians chapter 3. It's fixed on things that are above. I'm seeking those things that are above. I'm seeking His approval. That's all that matters. When it's all said and done, when I stand before my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want to be able to say, "I've done everything that You've given me to do. I did the with the anointing of the Holy Spirit the best way I knew how." I want to be totally honest now so I could present myself to Him as a vessel. It all starts here. Now, what I'm saying is, saints, listen. To be in a vessel of honor isn't, it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't, well, okay. Now, no, don't get me wrong. The blood of Jesus sanctifies us. The Word sanctifies us. We are set apart. But He's not done working on you. There's a work that He has to complete in you. And it's a process that I've been talking about that we have to work out our salvation every single day. It is nonstop. That's our desire, to be pleasing to Him.
Amen.
That's the motivation. Not approval, not a performance. It's all about being approved unto Him. Amen. Turn with, okay, 2 Timothy, hallelujah, chapter 2. Of course, we'll go to our text. It says here, "But in a great house..." verse 20, yeah. "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood, clay, some for honor, some for dishonor." Verse 21, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Hallelujah. There's a word right at the end of this. It says, I want to really focus in on this. It says prepared. Prepared for every good work. Now, when you prepare something, that's not accident, is it? Use some effort involved here.
Right.
Prepared. So there's two sides of this. God has His role, is like a coin. God has, on this side, God prepares us. On the other side of the coin, we prepare ourselves. So let's talk about this a little bit more. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 10, verse 17. Now, obviously, we could, there's a lot to talk about, but I'm just sort of hitting the highlights and sort of running with this. Amen. And Psalms chapter 10, verse 17, it says, this is God's role. It says, Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. Now, that's what I'm talking about, being a vessel of honor is being a humble vessel. It goes on to say, this is what God does. If we will come before Him, listen to me, if we will humble ourselves and come before Him, He's going to promise to do something. This is God's. He's doing a work now. But it takes us to humble ourselves before Him. And again, look what He's going to do. He says, you, God, will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. That's a powerful statement, saints. If we'll humble ourselves before Him, it's saying that we could become more sensitive to Him. More sensitive to hear His voice. More sensitive to hear, son, I want you to go this direction. Not that direction. I need to make a correction here, son. Go this way. Go this way, daughter. Go this way. In other words, as we humble ourselves before Him, we become sensitive to His ways. We humble ourselves into His Word. And His Word becomes a lamp. It becomes a beacon for us. That we can see this direction or that. The light begins to shine. Revelation begins to flow. But it takes a humble heart. It just doesn't happen. There takes some effort on our part. Well, Pastor Chuck, I just figured it'd just fall on me. Well, certain things will fall. But most of the time, you're going to have to be diligent. Like he said in Timothy, he told Timothy, be diligent in your study. Present yourself unto me, a workman, not ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of God. Amen. That just doesn't happen. Well, Pastor Chuck, I don't have the time. You got time. You got time. You don't understand. I don't have to understand. You got time. You just have to redeem some time. You got it. It all depends who you want to put first. Well, Pastor Chuck, you're hard. You're getting hard. Now I'm trying to help you.
You
have to discipline the flesh. Paul talked about it daily. He says, I die daily. I buffet my body daily. Yeah. It's not it's not me going into this word and this word is not a buffet. I don't like that one. I just take this one over here. We got to receive the whole counsel. That's the humbling part. The flesh doesn't like it. The flesh is the flesh. There's just certain things you're going to have to do. Jesus talked about denying. Well, I did that back in 78. It's not a one-time deal. You have to deny self every day. Self will try to exalt itself. It doesn't want self. Self has to be made low. It won't do it on a volunteer basis. You're going to lower it down. Okay, amen. That's, you know, so God will work on our hearts if we will humble ourselves before Him. He said, let's read this. He said, Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. So if we will humble, He said He will prepare. That word prepare means, I got it written down. Hallelujah. It means to establish. In other words, He's going to prepare your heart. He's going to establish it. He will fix. He will set in order. Make oneself ready. So as we present our bodies to Him, as we humble ourselves before Him, He said that He will establish you, fix you, prepare you. For what? For every good work. See, Jesus talked about the work. Jesus Himself talked about, you shall do the works of Jesus, those who believe. The works of Jesus. I want to do the works of Jesus. How about you? Amen. So we have to prepare ourselves. Okay, let's look at the next scripture. Let's look at Proverbs 16, hallelujah, which is our part. Proverbs 16. Are you there? It says here in verse 1, it says, the preparations or the preparing of the heart belong to men. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Now you may say, well, what's up with that? Here's what He's saying. He's saying that our mouth, that we, let me put it this way, we must agree with Him. That's major. Because we know, listen, God's faithful. He will do His part. Our part is to prepare our heart to say the same thing He said. If we will get our mouth in line with what He said, it will prepare our heart. It will put our heart in a fixed position that we're not wavering. We'll be established. Amen. The whole part, listen, you know, the Bible, well, actually, in Haggai chapter 2, and I don't want to get too much into this, it's not in the message, but there is a shaking. I believe we're in that shaking. God, I just say this, with His voice, there's a shaking. The nations of the world are shaking. There's a shaking going on. But yet, in that same text, in the same, but during that shaking, He's filling the temple with His glory. Amen. That's you and me. He's filling the glory in us. Saints, we have to be prepared. Amen. Prepared for the greater works that's going to come upon us. That He wants the work through us. I love that. You go in Haggai chapter 2, He talks about the temple be filled with His glory. Then all of a sudden He goes right into the silver and gold are mine. It's like, where'd that come from? Then He goes to the next verse. He goes back to the temple again. The latter glory would be great. The glory now would be greater than the former. The glory will increase. Yeah. Increase. Hallelujah. So there's a shaking going on, but in Hebrews chapter 12, the shaking going on doesn't shake the kingdom of God. No. The kingdom that we're receiving is unshakable. Right. Yeah, there's going to be some shaking, but saints, you don't have to be shaken. It's, whoa, give a shout because, hey, we're living in the last days. Yeah. This is our time to shine. Oh, yeah. It's time for us to arise and shine. Amen. So we see here being prepared is both God has His part, we have our part. So we just got to get our mouth in agreement with what He's already said and prepare our hearts. Now, now this word prepare, the main text is going to be, let's turn with Proverbs 57. That's where I really want to camp out. Proverbs 57. Psalms. Let's try Psalms. How's that? Psalms 57. Psalm 57. I'll get it out. Praise God. David used this word prepare twice. I'm going to go to verse 7. David said this. He said, my heart, now I'm reading out of New King James, and it uses the word steadfast. But the Hebrew word is also prepared. My heart is steadfast, prepared. And if you got a King James, it's going to say, I think it says fixed. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. Notice that phrase. He said, my heart is steadfast. And now let me read out the Young's translation. It says, prepared is my heart, O God. Prepared is my heart. In other words, it's all in past tense. You have to remember, this setting, David is in a cave. Have you ever been in a cave? A trial? Things look dark. You don't see a whole lot of light. But yet you're in the cave. It's a trial. And in this setting, there's also 400 guys in there. A lot of times when I'm going through a trial, the last thing I need is 400 other people around me who's distressed, in debt, discouraged. Hey, I got my own battle. I'm in this cave and you guys are coming in. I got enough on my plate. That's where we're at right now in this setting. David is in this cave. It doesn't look good, but yet he says something. In this verse, he says, prepared is my heart, past tense. So what I want to know is, how did he get his heart prepared? How did he get his heart fixed? Remember, he's got Saul chastening. What's the words for that? Saul is a nut. That's what Barney would say. The guy's a nut. Once anointed of God, he's so messed up, so full of himself, possessed by the devil half the time. You know, you don't know where he's at. I'll leave it go. So David hasn't did anything wrong, but yet he finds himself in the cave. Saints, you may be in a trial. You haven't done anything wrong, but you're in the cave. There's a way to come out. You don't have to camp out in the cave. You don't have to stay there. David goes in, saints, and he's 400 guys. They go in, but they're coming out victorious. That's what we're called to, saints. We're called to live a victorious life. Now let's look a little closer. There are some keys. Let's just look back at verse 1. We're just going to hit this bang, bang, bang. There's about three or four things that he did to prepare his heart, to have a fixed heart. heart, to have a heart that's unmovable, to have a heart that's not shaken, to have a heart that's steadfast, I'm telling you, immovable, unmovable towards God. Saints, that's what we got to be at all times. But there's times in the trial that you're going to have to buckle down. Let's look at this. Verse 1, this is the very first step. This is David's prayer to God. And this is the very first step. We have to go back to verse 1, and it says, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you." I got that circled. In other words, he's not trusting. He's not, look, this, we put it this way, he's not putting all his eggs in the basket by trusting that the cave is going to save him. The cave is a trial. Wow. He wants to come out of that. He's putting his trust in God. That's the very first thing. So we got, you have to put your trust. You may be saying, I don't know what did I do to get in here? I don't know. Just trust God. Put your trust in Him. It says, goes on to say, "And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge." In the shadow, under the shadow of His. Sounds like Psalm 91, doesn't it? So yeah, physically He's in a cave. Physically. But spiritually, He's looking to something else. Spiritually, He's refocused. Saints, this is a year of 2020. It's a year of being focused. Focus in on Him. Don't focus in on your trials. Listen, he could be focused on Saul. Saul's doing this. Saul's doing that. Yeah, he's a nut. We know that. But his focus is on God. Not on the problem. See, a lot of times we'll get down. Well, why are you down? A lot of times we get down because we're not focused right. We're looking at the negatives. This is going on. That's going on. What? I don't understand. I can't seem to get out. Focus in on Him. The very first thing He does, and the very first thing we're going to do, you're in a trial, you're going to have to get refocused. Focus in on Him. If you're constantly looking at the wrong thing, guess what? It's hard to be cheerful. We've gone through trials before. We all go through trials. And if we'll use the word right, we'll use His word, I guarantee you, you'll come out stronger than what you came in. The devil meant to take you out. But you used the word and allowed God to get involved. The tables are turned and you come out stronger. With a testimony. That all starts putting your trust in Him. Don't put your trust in this case, He's in a physical cave. He's not putting His trust in that. Verse 1, it says, "In the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge. Until these destructions, the calamities, have passed by." Notice that, until they pass by. In other words, it won't last. This too will come to pass. He already knows His God. He knows His God will take him through. It will come to pass. So if you're going through a dark time in your life, it will come to pass. Yeah. But Pastor Chuck, you don't understand what I'm going through. Listen, God does. Yeah. Put your trust in Him. Amen. He knows exactly what to do for you. He knows exactly what path for you to take. But you're going to have to focus in on Him. Be sensitive to Him. When He says, do this, do it. Don't drag your feet. He is there to take you out. So the first thing we have to learn that when we're in a trial is to put your trust in Him, not in circumstances. Refocus yourself. Get your eyes on the prize. Hallelujah. It goes on. So the very first lesson is God is your refuge. Remember, you are in Him. As the church, we're hidden in Christ, in the Anointed One. You know, the devil, in my own opinion, the devil can't even find you unless you're blabbing something stupid. I'm serious. We got the armor of God on. When the devil, he should be seeing the armor. He should be seeing you in Christ Jesus. The only thing that he can really tell that you're not the real McCoy is we say things like, it's not working for me. Did Jesus ever say that? I don't know what I'm going to do. Did Jesus ever say that? Well, you're losing your armor. You got pieces all over the place, man. Pick it back up. Get that on you. Amen. Get Christ on you. Put Christ on. Put Him on you. Get that anointing on you. Get the Word on you. Amen. Don't allow the enemy to see you without the armor. That's a whole nother story, but hallelujah. So the first step, he's our refuge. Number two, I got down in verse 2, David starts to declare the promises of God. In other words, this is our role, saints. We have to decree what He says. That's the part of preparing our heart. It goes along with Proverbs 16. We have to say what He says. In verse 2 it says, I will cry. That word cry, you could say call. But notice, cry. David is not some wimpy. He is a very confident man. Yes. I guarantee you, he says, I will cry. It's a loud voice. He's declaring some things in the cave with a loud voice. And you know what happens when you start crying out in a cave? Your voice carries. Yeah. In other words, you say, Jesus! And it'll echo 3 or 4 times.
Hallelujah.
So when he starts crying out the Word of God, it's repeating itself and repeating itself and repeating itself over. That's how it's got to be, saints.
Amen.
You keep saying it. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. Well, I said it one time. Well, say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Get radical about it. You want to come out, right? You got to get radical about it. He says, I will cry. I will call out. I will decree. Will decree what? He goes on to say, to the Most High. I'm telling you, David's fired up. You think I'm radical? David's radical. He's fired up. He said, not only is he my refuge, he said, He is the Most High. In other words, He's over my enemy. He is far above my enemy. Saul may be chasing me. And in verse 6, I think it's verse 6. Yeah, it says, and they, listen to this. They have prepared a trap. See, the enemy always wants to prepare a trap. David said, I cry out to the Most High. You know what? The Most High God is above all, and He sees all the traps. See, the enemy is preparing a trap for you. The enemy was preparing a trap for David, but David was preparing his heart. So, the trap that God, the Bible talks about God sits in the heavens laughing. The enemy thinks he's real cute. He's real smart. God knows it all. If we'll listen to Him, we'll have a humble heart and listen and be sensitive to Him and just follow His leadings, those traps that the enemy has prepared be nothing. Because we have God on our side. The enemy may prepare, but they're not going to do anything to us. He says, I cry out to the Most High, to God, who performs a few things. He performs all things. See, he's speaking this by faith, saints. Where's he at? He's still in the cave. Well, I'm not going to say that till I'm out. You got to say it while you're in the cave. You got to say it when the trials is heating up, man. It does look like there's no way out. But he says, he's saying this. He said, hey, I serve the Most High God. I'm coming out of this. This too will come to pass. I'm coming out. I'm preparing my heart. Amen. So he's decreeing some things. He's speaking some things. And look at verse 3. He says, and he shall send from heaven and save me. So the third thing I want to talk about is expectancy. He expects to be delivered from this cave. I'm telling you, what a testimony. Not only is he going to come out, just one guy. Just one in the midst of 400. Changes the whole atmosphere. Changes everything. He's going to lead them out victoriously. Just because he's focused in on God. He's putting God first. Now turn, hold your place there. Go with me to Psalm 31. It kind of goes along with this. He has an expectancy of being delivered. Psalm 31, verse 24. And we'll return back to Psalm 57 in just a second. But I want to camp out just a little bit here if we got time. It says here, I'll just read it first. It says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All you who hope in God or in the Lord. Notice the very first part of that verse. It says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. It almost sounds like that's backwards. You know, if you really look at that, you would think, if I was writing it, which you thank God that I'm not interpreting this thing and writing it down, I would have said, he shall strengthen your heart, therefore be of good courage. That's what I would have said. But that's not what he said. He starts off with, be of good courage. Other words, have an expectancy of good. I got written in my Bible, because you know I've used this a couple times. So I got this written in my Bible. Be of good courage. I've got down, stand firm in the faith. Just stand firm. Be of good cheer. Chuck, you know you got to talk to your soul every now and then. Be of good courage. Have an expectancy. See, listen. Be of good courage. Stand firm. Just standing firm in faith. And expect God to strengthen. See, that's word based. That's how God operates. But here's the thing. If we're always... How can I say this without being... But if we're constantly looking at ourselves, if we're constantly saying things like, I'm not worthy. What I'm talking about is having pity parties. I got the shirt on it. When we were first married, you know, I was really good at pity parties. You know, especially if I'm not feeling really well. Joanne, could you fix me some soup, some chicken noodle soup or something? Do I have a fever? Could you check my temperature? And I want sympathy. I'm serious. I've changed. Hallelujah. I've changed. But pity parties, saying things that God never said, saying how low I am, that, you know, I guess I never mount anything. I'm just a grain of sand on. I'm just nothing. God never said that. You know what that is? Pride. That's all it is. Pastor, I don't believe. You know, let me tell you real quick. Pride, you have two extremes. You have the one that's arrogant, boastful, which is easy to detect. I worked with a guy. Through the years, I've had him. Chuck, come on, go over here. Look what I did. I did a repair on this, and you can't even tell. You can't tell it was damaged. Look at that. Wait, is that a good repair or not? He's wanting me to say, yes, yes, that is the greatest repair job I have ever seen in my entire life. He's wanting me to exalt him of what he did. And you think, well, Pastor Chuck, you're just putting some mustard on this. I wish I was. I'm not putting any mustard on it. That's truth. And I'm around this guy constantly. And one guy finally asked me, what do you think of him? I said, I remember, like I said it yesterday, I said, that guy's a legend in his own mind. He's a mighty legend. Can anyone surpass that? No, anytime you're looking to yourself and want sympathy, pity parties, that's a form of pride. And God, to him, it's on the same stick or same whatever. To him, it's pride. What does God say about pride? He resists it. He resists the pride or the proud and gives grace to the humble, right? So what we have to do is get away from the extremes and just say what God says. Amen. What's that doing? It's preparing your heart. Preparing your heart. Because, you know, I got, you know, what, when I first heard it, I got mad because I was listening to Kenneth E. Hagin, and he talked about pride, and that he talked about, well, you remember, and I think Pastor Mark talks about this in Matthew chapter 16. Peter grabs Jesus and pulls him off to the side. And Peter goes, of course, Jesus was talking about going to the cross, about dying and suffering. And so Peter drags him off to the side and said, Master, be it far from you. I think that's what it says. Be it far from you. In the original Greek, it says, have pity. Pity yourself. How did Jesus respond to that? Peter gets a rebuke. You would think, well, what is the deal with that? That's not that bad. Yeah, it is. So if you find yourself pitying yourself, man, that's not of God. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's heavy. So what I'm saying, don't have pity parties. Man, don't do it. Only get what does God say about it? Get on the foundation of what He said. That's what Hagin always said. He said, spend your time a lot of your time, most of your time should be spent in the epistles. Read them over and over and over. The epistles tell you who you are. You're not a worm. Well, pal, I feel like it. Well, if you feel like it, don't say it. Just start saying what God says. That's our part of preparing ourselves. So, we got just say what God says, and you're on your way to preparing your heart and coming out of the cave. Amen. So, let's rehearse it. Let's review just a little bit. So, the first one is, the very first one, David made God his refuge. Verse 2, David starts to declare the promises of God. And verse 3, expect deliverance. You get what you expect. If you're not expecting anything, faith cannot work. Faith gives substance to the things hoped for. When you come up to me and say, oh, I'm not expecting anything, well, guess what? That tells me your faith isn't working. You got to have an expectancy. And I guarantee you, David here, listen, he said it will come to pass. But if it takes 4 years, 5 years, God is still the same. Amen. He's still my refuge. It doesn't matter. Get out of the time element. Get focused on Him now. Prepare your heart. Hey, you're coming out. Leave the timing to God. Don't put dates on it and time. Just, hey, I'm coming out. And keep your focus on Him. Basically, what I'm talking to you about is focus, focus, focus. To be a vessel of honor is to be a humble vessel. And a humble vessel honors God. A humble vessel, will bow its knee to the Word of God. A humble vessel receives with meekness the implanted Word of God. Amen. It's constantly receiving. Why? Because meekness is humbleness. Meekness is not weakness. Amen. Let's look at the very last thing. Hallelujah. That David did to get out. Go back to Psalm 57. There's another thing that David did while he was in the cave. In the cave. He's not out yet. But you wouldn't think it. You read this, you would think the guy wasn't in the cave. No pity parties. But man, he's focused. Because he knows he's God. It says this, let's read verse 57 again. My heart is steadfast. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. Here we go. Here it is, saints. Here's probably the icing on the cake. He begins to praise God. While in the cave, while in the trial. Well, Pastor Chuck, you're repeating yourself constantly. I know it, but I'm just trying to get a point across. It says, I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory, awake the flute, the harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. Sounds like he's pretty boastful. It doesn't sound like he's shy about anything, does it? Why? Why is that? Because he has prepared his heart. Saints, listen, this is faith being expressed. You go from verse 1 all through this chapter, it's faith being expressed. And now it's coming to a climax. He's going into praise while he's still in the cave. Saul is still there. Nothing's changed. But you could tell he's changing. He's gaining some momentum here. He's beginning to praise God, giving God the glory. Doesn't that kind of remind you of Paul and Silas? Remember, in the inner prison, at the midnight hour. It's pretty dark at midnight. In the midnight hour, they were praying and singing songs praising God. Well, they were in the inner prison when they were singing and praising God. When they first started, nothing happened. Nothing changed. Saints, you got to give time for the Word to work. Give it time. I just said this, you know, I put all my eggs in the basket in His Word. I put all in. It's like, you know, I don't gamble, but I just put all the chips. You know, I slide them all to Jesus. I cast all my care upon Him. He's coming out. Paul and Silas came out. And it goes here. Let's read this again. It says, in verse 11, it says, "Exalted, O God, above the heavens, let your glory be above all the earth." Hallelujah. Listen, he came out. He came in. Listen, was one verse I messed up. That's all right. There's one verse that he said I am bowed down. I don't know what verse that is. I think it's verse 6 maybe. Verse 6, I am bowed down. In other words, I'm discouraged. Listen, he's not denying. He's not denying. I'm not in a cave. I'm not in a cave. He's in a cave. And he's not denying it. But that's not his focus. You know, I may be in a trial. I'm not denying it. But he's my focus.
Amen.
And I'm coming out. That's how we got to look, saints. I'm coming out.
That's right.
You know, what he's doing, he's preparing his heart. When you prepare your heart, you're making room on the inside.
Yeah.
No, there's a song, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come," or "The Lord has come, let earth receive her King." Listen to this now. "Let every heart prepare him room." Then it goes on to say, "Heaven and nature sing." Okay. I am not gifted in that. I don't try to move in that gifting. But anyway, but the phrase, I don't know if it's the first chorus or what, but it says, let him make room for him. We have to allow room for him. Saints, I have to examine myself all the time because there's stuff, junk that we accumulate that has to be cleaned out. Things. Self is a big thing. Just getting self. We have to make room. And well, how you make room? Well, you prepare yourself. John the Baptist said this, which is very key. He said this, and listen to this. He said this, "He must increase, I must decrease." Another way of saying that is, the way to decrease is for him to increase. If he's not increasing, you know, I can say this. I can say, "I'm humble. I'm humble. I'm humble." Have I told you lately? I'm humble. Self cannot humble self. It's going to take something greater. Jesus said this. Jesus said this in John 15. He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." That's exactly what he says. That's exactly what he meant. In order to humble yourself, it's going to take some grace. It ain't happening. So, I think it's Job 42. I'm paraphrasing this. It's Job 42, the very last chapter, verse 5 or 6. It says, Job said this. He says, I heard my ears, I'm paraphrasing, "I have heard of you by my hearing, but my eyes see you." In other words, I've heard it, but now I have revelation. Now, since I have this revelation, I see you. Now, it goes on to say, I retract my words and I repent. Why? Because he saw him glorified, magnified. In other words, he increased. Then he decreased. In other words, he humbled himself because of revelation. See, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said this, the Holy Spirit will take the things of mine and reveal them to you. Revelation. The more revelation you have of Jesus, more revelation you have of the Word, increases your capacity to receive more of Him. Amen. In other words, you receive more of Him, less of you. You understand? There's a horse. If I was to say this, as far as race horses, what racehorse comes to mind? As far as thoroughbreds, some of the greatest horses ever. Secretariat. I heard Secretariat. Are you sure? Well, Man of War is another good one, but there's something about Secretariat that's got our attention, doesn't it? Why is that? What they did this. They the doctors once passed away, the Secretariat, doctors examined the horse's heart. His heart was 2.5 times larger than the average racehorse. Think of that. Secretariat did things that no other horse did. At Belmont, I think. Belmont, one of them, he won by 31 lengths, which has never been duplicated. They were mystified. Well, you take a heart that's 2.5 times larger than the average horse, he's got more capacity to do more. That's what I'm talking about. As a vessel, we leave more room for him. We have a greater capacity to do for his glory. To do. See, the Bible says, those who know their God shall do great exploits. Amen. David, could that be the secret of David? A man after God's own heart? It says in one of those, maybe I got it written down. There's a verse. Here it is. 119. Psalm 119:32. I'll just read it to you. It says this, David said this, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. He believed for an enlarged spiritual heart. Physically, we don't want that, but spiritually, the larger vessel we have for him, for his glory, the more he can do through us. Like a secretary, man, he did some supernatural things. Saints, we're born of the supernatural, born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. It's supernatural, saints. And we should expect to do the supernatural. But there's a preparing of the heart. Hallelujah. As we prepare our hearts, I'm telling you, when David left, that cave, it changed everything. Destiny was on his side, all because he obeyed God, put God first. We still talk about King David today, don't we? A man after God's own heart. Hallelujah. He goes out victorious. Saints, we're already declared victorious. You're already declared the head, not the tail. You're already in Christ Jesus. We're already victorious. But we have to make sure we do our part and prepare ourselves. So we're not moved about. Establish ourselves. So that means we're going to put the Word first. And all that we do, it's the Word. It's the Word. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.